Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Amen. If you would, as we direct our attention now to the teaching of God's Word, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. That's on page 977 in the Pew Bibles. We have the page number there, so you can always kind of, if you don't know your way around the Bible, those scriptures, you can turn right there easily. And if you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And we stand for the reading of God's word as an honor to God, not to anything else. And so when you're there, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain unity, all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, which are when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Today we're talking about ministry. Ministry. And it was funny when I was thinking about ministry this morning in my times in ministry, I thought of the quote by Charles Dickens, "The best of times, the worst of times." Because ministry can be hard. The Christian life can be hard. Yes? But listen to this about the idea of ministry. This is a 2022 study. 4,000 new churches began each year, but 7,000 churches closed. That's a deficit of 3,000 churches a year. Over 1,500 pastors left the ministry every month last year. 1,500 pastors left the ministry every month, an average of every month last year. Over 1,300 pastors were terminated by the local church each month. 1,300 pastors. So 1,500 pastors left, and 1,300 pastors got fired or terminated, and many without cause. Over 3,500 people a day left the church last year. 3,500 people a day left the church in 2021. You see, I think one of the problems, as I try to, again, teach a shortened message, is that people still have an old idea of the priesthood. You see, all Christians are called to ministry. All Christians. If you're here and you're a believer, you are called to ministry. See, the priesthood of old ended when the new covenant began. It's known as the priesthood of all believers. You see, within the old covenant, there was almost a mediator. It was like the priests. The priests were the ones that were representing God, would go to the temple. The high priest would make sacrifices, and there was this kind of sense of mediation. But we know now that Jesus has come. There's one mediator between us and God, the who? The man, Jesus. And so he is our mediator. We are no longer in need of a priest like looking to me so that, you know, like as though I have a red phone to God. Like you guys pray, but I really pray. But there's still that idea there that it's the pastor's responsibility. And in one very real sense, there is, in so much as I fulfill my calling of ministry. But my responsibility is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That means you have to do what? Work of the ministry. Work of the ministry. Listen to this definition. The priesthood of all believers, this comes from This comes from the Gospel Coalition, an article that I read. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers states that all believers in Christ share his priestly status. Therefore, there is no special class of people who mediate the knowledge, presence, and forgiveness of Christ to the rest of the believers. And all believers have the right and authority to read, interpret, and apply the teachings of Scripture. We get this idea from 1 Peter 2:9. We'll see it up on the screen. This is Peter's writing, as we've learned before, that he's writing to a group of Christians. So in context, because it's the word of God, it's universally for us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is who you are. You are a chosen race. A race of what? It's no longer race as in skin color or language, but you are a set aside child of God, a royal priesthood. When you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, did you be like, were you like, yeah, I'm a royal priesthood, royal priest? Yeah, no, me either. A holy nation. The Christian, the kingdom of God, the Christian faith goes beyond any boundaries. Because we are, as the body of Christ, a holy nation and a people for his own possession. It goes on to say in another section, it says in 1 Peter, it says this: as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That you yourself are part of a building. See, the scriptures even say that your body is a temple. That the Old Testament temple, as grand as it was, as amazing as it was, as holy and set apart and sanctified as it was, and you had the high priest come in and you had the Ark of the Covenant and all the cool stuff that was in there, and like there was like a sense of presence there. But when that died, when Jesus came and then the temple was destroyed in AD 70, but even before AD 70, Jesus now says, you are the temple of God. And when we collectively come together, we're like stones that build on each other to create God's power and presence within our community. How awesome is that? That's you. Like, it would be awesome if you could just believe that. Instead of me just going, come on, guys. Like, you got to just, come on. Just believe what God says about who you are. It's one of the greatest challenges of the Christian faith. It's to wake up on a Monday morning just feeling like, and believe that you are a son of the living King or a daughter of the living King. That you have this purpose, this power and presence of God over your life. That you are a living stone being built. In other words, your purpose is to build the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is eternal. And so we build into eternity. If we could just hold on to that. That's what faith looks like. Because so oftentimes we just don't believe that. Therefore, because we don't believe it, we don't act it. But when we believe, changes everything. And as a side note, it just makes my job so much easier when you do. Because you are all called to be priests, not just the pastor. You are all called to do the work of the ministry. What is ministry? I love this definition. I looked it up in the Greek, and it says, to render assistance or help by performing certain duties, often of a humble or menial nature, to serve. You have a slide for that, Jake? No slide for that? All right. So to render assistance or help by performing certain duties, often a humble or menial nature, to serve, to come up under. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual leadership. Pastors, leaders, and administrators. That's the idea as we go through the spiritual gifts and kind of talk about what the Bible actually says about these things. But what I love, here's a heads up, when Jesus talks about leadership, he flips everything upside down. Because he who desires to be first shall be what? Last. And Jesus comes and he washes the disciples' feet as an example for us to live our lives. And so you get this idea of ministry is coming up under this idea of humble service or menial nature and to serve. All right. Your gift and calling is to do the work of the ministry for the church. For the church. That's why it's so important that you actually love the church. Because you're not going to have joy in serving if you don't love the actual church. Now listen to what our text says this morning. Again, remember, I'm trying to shorten this up. It says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the building up the body of Christ, for building up the body of Christ. Now, what's crazy about that is, what is the body of Christ? We all oftentimes call the body of Christ the church. Yeah, okay, they had the right answer, guys, over here. Yeah, we oftentimes call the body of Christ, starts with a C, the church, for the building up of the church. So let's read that again. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the church, for the church. I love how the message says these few verses. It says this. He handed out gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. Are you encouraged? Do I need to read it again? Like, this is, it's basically the message version is a transliteration, in other words, a kind of an interpretation of the text, but it's also founded deeply within the Greek. But he handed out gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to train so that all of us could do the servant work, the church, rhythmically and easily, efficient and graceful to maturity. So the first thing we see in verse 13, till we all attain to the unity of faith. Do you see yourself as a minister? That is the question. My hope is that you will. If you didn't see yourself as a minister before you walked in this morning or just a few seconds ago, I want to let you know the scripture says that you are a minister. Everybody say, I am a minister. Okay, guys, I didn't hear anything over here. Are you guys listening? I am a minister. What do you guys think? Think they were loud enough? All right, I'm just going to preach to this side. So, but the bottom line is, sorry, some of you guys want to switch sides? Because here's the thing. When we see ourselves as ministers, the result is unity. Look what it says. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And so the goal is to see yourself as a minister. Because here's the thing. Some of you need to hear this. Jesus says you're a minister because of his work, not yours. Let me say that again. Jesus calls you a minister outside of what you've done. It's his work that creates the identity that he's given us. It's his work on the cross. He rose again from the dead, did he not? And he imparts to us resurrection life, filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can live lives beyond ourselves. Like, he did all of that and then says, do you believe? And we're like, eh. So let me ask you, do you believe?
Yes.
Then walk as such. You are a minister. It doesn't matter what you did on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or the sin that's keeping you down right now. Repent. Bring it to the cross and be forgiven and free. Like, that's how that works. Repentance is one of the greatest gifts ever. You guys, what? It is, because oftentimes we see repentance as penance. Penance is different. It's us paying for our own sin. And whenever we decide to make ourselves suffer for our own sin, ultimately and subconsciously, we're telling Jesus that his life, death, and resurrection wasn't sufficient enough. Yeah, that's not good. But we're able to go, no, no, no. His death is sufficient. And so we're able to just, oh, and that's why repentance is such a gift, because so often we just find ourselves, whenever we fall into sin, you guys remember Eeyore? Our Christianity looks a lot like Eeyore. I know Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Because we get this kind of like stuck feeling that our sin holds us down. But Jesus sets us free from that. It's going to be like Winnie the Pooh or Tigger. I'm not going to do that. So, but the bottom line is that that's what repentance does. It brings us back into the truth that was already true about you. That we're able to turn from our sin and our misguided worship and return our worship back to God and believe that you are a minister, that you have a purpose that's beyond yourself, an identity you don't deserve, and praise God for it. Amen? And so when we see ourselves as ministers, the result is unity. In other words, when we're in this together, we actually speak to one another and like, hey, if there's a division or if there's like a schism between you two, we work it out, thus arriving towards unity. So until we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Second thing, so one, when we see ourselves as ministers, the result is unity. The second thing, we see ourselves as ministers, the result is maturity. Who wants to grow up in Christ? Who wants to be mature in Christ, right? Then see yourself as a minister, and you'll begin to see that. And I love this. We've talked about this before, but in case you weren't here, the idea of to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, basically he's saying Christ is our example. He's like the dad that we want to be like, and we seek to walk in his shoes. And you guys have kids that try to walk in your shoes and they're like 12 times bigger than their feet, right? That's us. We're kids seeking to walk the way of Jesus. And when we see ourselves as ministers within the way of Christ, then we begin to have unity and we begin to have maturity. It starts with belief. It starts with understanding of who you are. Verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. When we see ourselves as ministers, we have unity, maturity, and number three, stability. Stability. That we're no longer tossed to and fro. Why? Because we see ourselves as ministers. We're in the Word. We're like, okay, how do I live this life like Jesus? Like the pastor was freaking out about walking like Christ, something about big shoes. Like, how do I live this life? And we find ourselves in the Word, and it begins to establish us in the Word so that we're not too tossed to and fro by different lies that are out there. The optical illusions are trying to misguide your faith. And so we find ourselves, seeing ourselves as ministers brings unity, maturity, and stability to who we are, to our faith. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, which is our only command in this text, we are to grow up, well, that is a command, this section is the only command. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. You know, one of the things that you need to speak the truth in love? Any guesses? You need another person. You need another person to speak that truth in love to. And so one of the things that we see when we see ourselves as ministers is we gain unity, we gain also unity, maturity, stability, and also community. When we see ourselves as a minister, we need people to minister to. And we speak the truth in love to other people. And so we find ourselves being in community. Now, speaking the truth in love is sometimes not the easiest thing, right? Like, it's hard sometimes to speak it. Okay, man. You've been super inconsistent lately. Like, that's true. But I love you, and I want to encourage you to be faithful. Sometimes those aren't always the easiest of conversations. But like I talked about it last week, it brings maturity. Again, brings maturity. And so we are called to speak the truth in love, but we are called to, when we see ourselves as ministers, the result is community. And we're again to grow up, again, the idea of maturity. Verse 16, from the whole body, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, so when everybody here sees themselves as a minister, working in the ministry to lift up the body of Christ to the church, understanding what their gift is, and that's, again, we're in that process, you're not sure, but again, you're jumping in to see, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When we see ourselves as ministers, the result is to build each other up in love. Isn't that cool? At the end of this section, the end of this idea of seeing yourself as a minister is that we get to love each other more. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? Like, who wants to experience love? Who wants to be love and to be loved by others? Okay? Anybody on this side? Okay, all right, we're there. We're there. This side's on it. You guys. But here's the thing is that we get to build each other up in love. And here's what's cool is that that part right there is just a simple truth. That as we begin to understand who we are in Christ, what he did for us, the grace that he grants us, what that means for our identity and how we were saved from our sin to the church, and that we have a part and a purpose within the church to build up the church, we get to build each other up in love. Amen? Amen. And so when we see ourselves as ministers in the ministry, number one, it makes my job a lot easier. That's a joke. But it does. Because here's the thing, church, it doesn't all rest on me. We need to come out of that idea that I get paid to do this, so it's my responsibility. I have responsibilities, but my responsibility is for you to be trained to do the work. And we need to start with believing the fact that that's who you are. And when we do, we get unity, we get maturity, we get stability, we get community, and we build each other up in love. Father, would you help us? Help us to believe. Just get a sense, God, that there's many of us here that are in that spot of like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so by your Spirit, Lord, would you come now and empower believers here to be able to actually believe? Maybe for the first time to see themselves as a minister, as a priest, as a holy priesthood, as a living stone, building the kingdom of God. Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.